Silence. No comments, no questions, nothing. Like Catherine, most everyone in the room was torn between two emotions: relief that Mikey was finished, and disappointment at the shallow nature of her response. At that moment, Catherine didn't feel that it would be right to force her vice president of marketing to be more vulnerable. Mikey had to do it herself. With every second that went by, the group quietly begged for someone to break the silence. Carlos put them out of their misery. "Okay, I'll go next." Doing his best to bring the quality of the conversation back to a higher level, he talked about his follow-through as a strength and his failure to update people on his progress as a weakness. After he finished, Jan jumped in. "Carlos, I think you missed on both of your answers." Catherine, not knowing that Carlos and Jan had become fairly close, was surprised by the directness of her remark. Jan continued, "First, as thorough as you are, your willingness to do the shit work and not complain is your strength. I know that sounds terrible, but I don't know what would happen around here if you weren't bailing us out all the time." A number of the others voiced their agreement. "And, on the negative side, I think you could tell us what you're thinking more during meetings. You hold back too much." Everyone seemed to wait to see how Carlos would respond, but he just nodded his head and took a note. "Okay." JR volunteered to go next and brought the room to a roar when he explained, "Clearly, my biggest strength is my follow-through and attention to detail." The group enjoyed the laughter for a few minutes until JR continued, "Seriously, I'm pretty good at building strong personal relationships with customers. In fact, I'm really good at that." He said it modestly enough for everyone to appreciate. "On the downside, if I don't think something is terribly important, which usually means it isn't going to get me closer to closing a deal, I can sometimes blow it off." "Sometimes?" asked Nick. The room howled again. JR blushed. I know. I just can't seem to get around to my to-do list. I don't know why, but I think that hurts the team." Martin was the only remaining executive. "Okay, I think I'm next." He took a deep breath. "I hate talking about myself this way, but if I have to, I'd say that I'm good at solving problems, doing analysis, stuff like that. What I'm not so good at is communicating with human beings." He stopped. "I mean, it's not that I can't do it, but I really prefer people who aren't sensitive. I like to have conversations with people on a purely intellectual level and not to have to worry about what they're feeling or anything like that. Does that make sense?" "Sure," said Jeff, who decided to take a risk. "The problem is that it can sometimes make people think you don't like them, that they're a waste of your time." Martin seemed visibly disappointed by Jeff's remark. "No, that's not it at all. I mean, that's not what I intend. Crap. That's bad. I don't mean that at all, but I suppose I can see how it comes across that way. I don't know how to change that." For the first time all morning, Mikey chimed in, smiling. "Years of psychotherapy, my friend, and even then you probably won't be able to change it. You're just an arrogant SOB. But then again, isn't every CTO in the Valley?" Mikey laughed. No one else did, with the exception of Martin, who seemed embarrassed by her remark and wanted to add to its sense of being humorous. Inside, he was melting. Catherine would later kick herself for not calling Mikey on a remark, which at the time Catherine attributed to her astonishingly low emotional intelligence. Whatever the case, it was clear to her now that Mikey's behavior was having a very real impact on the rest of the group.